And I think so we're talking about essentially the left has certain things right. Where is the place of power? We want the power as parents because they're our children. And I think all parents desire that in some fashion, even if you believe in running a full on communist co-op. You have the desire to put your children in that. And so finding the ability to have the most impact with the most amount of power at the best price, what you're talking about is taking the Christian nice approach of viewing that person in the image of God and then having a conversation that doesn't imbue that person with vile hatred towards you because you're spitting in their face almost directly. On the other hand of that, having the bureaucracy, we can wait every 4 or 6 years to vote people in, but people like Corey DeAngelis have been pushing forward the funding students, not programs, or I'm sorry, funding people, not the programs.
Are you trying to say funding students, not systems?
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's the SS or the PP. And so there you have kind of what's a voucher program, and the schools, your public schools, if they're the best, if so many people support them, if the money follows the student, that's where it's going to go. Why would it go away from good systems unless if the parents choose to take that money? And it's not here's $15,000 a year. It's in your hand and you can spend it on big screen TVs and strippers. This is, set aside strictly for to send your student to whatever system to go to. Homeschools, buy materials, books, co-ops, private education. It gives the parents the ability to take that, that overbloated per year per student cost and put it towards the way that you want your own child to be educated. And that way it splits up that one policy system into, okay, let's use economics to find the best route for our money. And then we'll find that and more people will go to it. More people will improve upon it because it's getting more money. And we'll see what 50 states will do as opposed to one federal system. And so that voucher program doesn't hurt the public schools only in the sense that they can't build up their machine to hate you more. It's empowering you with the money that we're even saying, like for you and I, we would say, my money is my money, stay away from it. But also we can pool our money together as individuals privately or as a church and create our own school or send a group of kids to these three choices. But let's even say, I believe in funding the kid down the street who comes from a broken home, and I want a centralized power to do that. This would take that same route, but that kid with their parents, who probably do love him, we're not opining people that hate their kids or, wish abortion would cover 99 months after birth, but people are parents in just different situations, and that money is then following the route that's best for them. And if that's the public, great. Public school will improve because they're going to want to capture the most amount. They're going to keep the bad people out that they don't need. And also say, hey, we have the best sports program. So if you're an athlete, the athletes go to, Apple Elementary. And from there, we train them up in football, nothing but football. We talk about how many steps in math. We run plays of history. We look at the logic of quarterback thinking throughout history, and so that's where you're going to train those people up. But you're also going to want them to be good students so that they survive and tell good things about your school. Then we'll bring more money captured into it. So Corey DeAngelis and his folks have been pushing for that. And in the States and I believe in Canada, that's really been resonating well, so much so that politicians are winning and losing based on that. Oh, yeah. Who are traditionally the opposite side of the divide of Republicans or Democrats.
Well, it's especially been in Republican nominations, Republican primaries.
Right.
That we've seen, school choice has become a litmus test issue for Republicans in the states. More than actually, I saw a poll of Oklahoma Republicans said, where school choice actually barely edged out abortion as being a litmus test issue for Oklahoma Republicans. So it was, they were 1 and 2 and they were both in the high 90s. It's really very rapidly. And I would say because of the global lockdown, it's really very rapidly at least achieved parity with abortion as being a litmus test issue for Republicans in Republican primaries. And so our mutual friend Josh from Iowa, his governor, just straight up ran primary opponents against everyone who opposed her school choice bill, and who was up for re-election, and went like almost ran the table. I think only one of them lost. It's definitely become a litmus test issue for Republicans. But yes, it's even jumped the rails outside of that. I mean, even to some extent, you look at the San Francisco school board recall, and the San Francisco parents, which are not Republicans, let's just put that out there. San Francisco parents successfully recalled all the school board trustees that were eligible for recall. They got rid of all of them largely because they're renaming schools that aren't open. you're definitely seeing it even outside the any sort of traditional partisan or expected political alignment. But okay, so I know you're probably trying to wrap up at this point, but you've just sort of centrally landed on most of what I like, more centrally on what I actually do in my day job. So,
oh man, I've centralized the conversation. This is terrible.
Yeah. but a few things I would say. One, that yes, we do want a safety net for kids who would not otherwise be educated. Historically, before the Prussian widget factory model of education, it was religious communities that would be that safety net that would make sure that your kid was educated.
Are you saying that the Department of Education in the United States that was formed in 1979 is not the from ye old time history of how we do things, and that governments, especially from the federal level, use their dollar bills to influence the local levels so that they obtain the most amount of power, like they did with roads? I'm shocked. Yeah. This is new information.
You should be. I'll put in one more plug for the Canadian, especially Albertan education system here, and say we don't have any federal education policy in Canada, which is a beautiful thing.
So America has Canadianized itself over Canada.
Well, yeah, in the sense that the most natural understanding of what a province of a central government would mean versus what a state would mean, then yes. But although that would be an oversimplification. We're both we're both intended to be decentralized, and both of our federal governments have overrun that pretty significantly. But so far in education, not so much. Now, mild exception, the federal government did send a boatload of COVID money, and over the course of the global lockdowns. So we need to keep a close eye, because, you know, they start giving you money for emergencies and then the money never goes away. And then the strings come.
Neither do the emergencies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So what you've told me is that if I declare an emergency, I have more power. So then what I need to do is declare more emergencies. This is funny. Even the English Civil War is because one of the triggering events was the king had the power to levy a tax without parliament, in the form of ship money, which was supposed to be for the Spanish Armada is sailing here right now. Either provide me a certain number of ships or provide me the money to buy those ships, because we are under imminent attack. But it did not define the defining an imminent attack was left up to the king. The king got to define when the emergency was. So every year he would levy ship money. They'd be like, so this has just become a tax that you're doing without parliament, which is like, you're getting around the whole point of parliament. And this was one of the sources of the English Civil War. So yeah, you have these pull in case of emergency. And it's like, but I get so much more when I pull it. maybe this gets to be an emergency. So that's a big problem. And that's something we would have to watch here in Canada, is that we don't have continuous emergency funding coming from the feds. Because that would eventually mean that you will have federal education policy. traditionally you've had a decentralized way of having that safety net, very decentralized, even more decentralized than provinces, very decentralized, way of having that. Having that safety net, obviously it would be good to get back to that. I understand that that's not where our society is right now. We can't have that. We've atrophied that muscle, right, to where we can't have that safety net tomorrow, and there will be real human suffering if we try, and it won't work because of the real human suffering. So. And we won't try it for long. So it would be a policy failure, and we would go back to a worse system if we tried it. So pragmatically, then the best thing we can do is try to decentralize with that safety net in place. Unfortunately, for now, it will have to be provided by the government, which is to say the civil magistrate. Since families and churches are also governments. For now, recognizing that we live in a fallen world, that we can't get back to where our society has deviated from, all that quickly, that it's, you're still going to have this safety net provision by the state for now. But that at least what we can do then is decentralize it and put it in the hands of individual parents and individual communities and society, charities formed under the Societies Act in the case of Alberta, or whatever the equivalent would be, wherever you live, that we put it in those hands decentralized hands as much as possible, so that it, as much as possible, we're decentralizing down to the kitchen table level, but where that's not possible, to at least the individual school level, the individual society level, is society in the sense of charity. Sorry, that's how we use the word society legally in Alberta. So that as much as possible, we're getting things down to that level. That would be the goal. That would be where this whole school choice movement is ultimately headed. And anyone who isn't upfront about that, maybe you should be suspect of their motives, right? As I was, I dropped in the secret Discord for the anarchist Bible study, a link to a piece from these education reformers who are like, is education reform dead? Because even though we've had this massive expansion of school choice, we're not getting centralized testing and centralized Washington bureaucrats, and we're not getting Common Core and all this stuff. And I'm like, these guys are on another planet. It's like, this is the most wildly successful education reform we've seen in a generation.
It's not reform because I don't have golden toilet seats.
Yeah. It's like, is education reform dead? So yeah, I mean, I would be suspect of anyone who isn't willing to be upfront about that, is that that's the direction. That's the goal. That's the direction this is headed, is radical decentralization.